to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and co-host,
Ani Avedisian. Good evening, everyone. So nice to be with you all again. Isn't internet radio wonderful? Wherever you are, anywhere in the world, you can hear us, and we can't hear you, but we can feel you. We know you're out there. And in fact, we would love for you to participate in this show. If you have questions, comments, or just wonderful pearls of wisdom you want to share relating to this evening's topics, let me give you a couple of numbers to call in. Here's a worldwide toll-free number. You got to love that. It's 1-888-815-9756. Again, that's 1-888-815-9756. And for those of you in the States who are trying to get through but can't get through on that number and get frustrated, here's a West Coast number you can call in, if you don't mind spending a few dimes, I suppose. 530-327-7602. Once again, 530-327-7602. And back to you, Cynthia.
Thanks, Ani. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's always such a gift in our lives to be able to participate with you on a feeling level and definitely a consciousness level. Today's topic is sudden changes and how they affect our lives, our bodies, our environment, and the people in them. Again, another topic that we can talk about endlessly, but today we're going to touch on it and hopefully from many different perspectives. You know, as a society, as a consciousness in the mass consciousness, we have been experiencing a lot of sudden changes, shocks to our system, so to speak. A lot of people experience, whether it's in their own childhood or in relationship to worldly events or individual events, what's called post-traumatic stress disorder. And a lot of individuals just push through that and they just barrel right through the post-traumatic event, which means a sudden shock to the system. And many times, instead of stopping to honor what has occurred, survival kicks in on an unconscious and maybe conscious level. And also, individually, there could be a desire to have security. And part of that security in a sudden change, whether it's environmental, whether it is personal or consciousness, level, a sudden change can cause the individual to immediately switch into survival mode. And that means not stopping, but actually speeding up sometimes and just continuing the process of life and securing that your own space and around you, and not always within you, but your space around you gives you that security. I think more importantly is the need for all of us as a consciousness to stop and take notice that if there is a sudden change, if there is a shock to the system, that that is a higher message or an invitation, if you will, to stop and reevaluate the moment, reevaluate your life, reevaluate the people in it. I call it the attitude of gratitude. And if you skip over the attitude of gratitude, then you actually skip over all that you already have in place to help you feel secure and to help you feel kind of grounded in an ungrounded time. Sometimes it puts your chaos into focus to stop, and when there's a sudden change, to look at what's going on in the moment, right prior to it in the future, that focus on what really matters to you. Sometimes also sudden changes globally are also participating in the lack of consciousness in the mass consciousness. And so there's this sudden need for an awakening, so to speak. And it really sometimes really puts into focus for a group of people, consciousness or individual, what really matters. So it's an opportunity. At the same time that a sudden shock or a sudden change can be fearful and really move through your physical body like an earthquake, it's also an opportunity to look within and see where are the places within me that feel unstable, that I've been ignoring, that I have not been listening to. How do I secure my internal environment as well as my external one? So there's a lot of opportunities, as well as, you know, regardless what you do for a living, who you are, that journey of living is a constant opportunity to grow. And unless we stop and take notice of the growth that we have lived through and applied, then we can't really see clearly what's to come and the direction we want to continue to add to our lives. So I think living in general is such a gift, regardless of how we're living, but we also need to take notice sometimes that we're co-creating that. So I'd say a sudden change and a shock to your system is an opportunity, even if there's fear, to go within and to look at the physical body, the mental, the spiritual body. Where are you disconnected and where do you feel unsafe? And how to change how you survive in this world. Because it's no longer about burying your head or closing your eyes and moving forward. It's about expanding, breathing deeply, and feeling safe within you to help create safety and celebration and love in the world. Ani?
Thank you, Cynthia. You know, I'm reminded of there's a couple of times in my life where I had to really stop and reevaluate my safety and my personal awakening. And they sound sort of silly if you explain them, but I was having dinner with some friends in Beirut one day in the 80s, and the building next door to me totally blew up because, you know, well, there was a war going on. And then the second time was I was part of that Northridge earthquake in Los Angeles.
Mm.
And I was 8 miles from the epicenter. And it honestly felt like the Jolly Green Giant picked up my little duplex and shook it. And the entire contents of my refrigerator ended up in the bedroom. There was soy sauce everywhere. Two very, very sort of, you know, very frightening things for me. And I came up with my little motto then, that reevaluation can be your salvation. You know, how adept are we at adapting? You know, change, just like time, as time is a constant, you know, we're the ones passing through it. Change also is a constant in our lives. Sometimes it's subtle, very subtle, like you put on like a pound a month until you're really overweight. And sometimes, not that I'm speaking from personal experience, you understand, but sometimes it's not so subtle. And, you know, it's good to shake things up once in a while, but we have to have some sort of understanding and a coping mechanism for this. You know, for me, it really is about being a little bit more aware about what continuous learning is. Not learning continuously and being just interested and curious about the world, planet around us, but also paying attention to our spiritual evolution. If we're not open to change, we're not going to grow, and that means we're not really reaching our full potential, which is why we come down to incarnate and learn whatever lessons we want to learn and fulfill that particular potential. I mean, change is growth, and growth is change. So we need to have a sort of an attitude, which is a non-fear-based attitude, obviously, of welcoming change, being ready for it, thinking of it as a challenge but not necessarily an obstacle, just another opportunity for growth. And from time to time, I have found that, you know, the best tools we have for this is to, excuse me, to reevaluate our core values from time to time. You know, we do evolve, we grow, we're ever evolving, ever yearning, ever learning. We grow up, we spiritually mature, hopefully. And we may start out by inheriting or being influenced by our parents' values because, you know, as kids, what else do we know? But what do we really think now that we're adults and as we keep going through the various stages of adulthood? Now that we can think for ourselves, you know, what is it that we're all about? What are our core values? Because these are the principles that guide our actions. So let's pay, I think, a particular attention to why we react in a certain way in certain situations. Are we reacting from a healthy response, something for our highest good, or are we reacting from a deeply personal sense of fear? In other words, are our actions in keeping with our core values? I believe that we should be quietly aware of how things affect us emotionally on an ongoing level, because this will liberate our soul memory and that part of us that is not just that one small fragment that is John Doe or Ani Avedisian, but the actual totality of the entire soul. There's knowledge of your particular incarnation on an intellectual level in this earth, and then there's the soul memory and the soul knowledge that you've carried with you through all generations of time and space. And think about it, if we weren't adaptable, if we didn't have that flexibility to adapt to change, a lot of the intelligence wouldn't imprint. I mean, it's sort of at the very base level, it's adapt or perish. It's sort of nature's imperative, I believe H.C. Wells said. So, you know, we can plan and we can anticipate until the cows come home, but everything really is unknown. So what is that sort of one thing, that one magic attitude, that one little magic thing that would enable us to deal with this change, constant, sudden, or unexpected in every way that it comes? And again, of course, it does go back to the concept of embracing one's divinity, one's oneness. Embracing that and learning about and accepting the absolute equality of creation liberates consciousness. And just think about it for a moment, what it means if we say, God has taken form in you, Creator has taken form in you. Whereas in the beginning there was just Creator, and then there were the many manifestations outward of that, all on different realms of expression and experiencing, in essence, without being flippant, not me to be flippant, of course, but without being irreverent, let me say, we do make it up as we go along. So it is change, constant, it's a constant. So why should we be so unhinged if sudden climatic changes occur, and they are, as Cynthia said, already occurring, quakes, floods, disruptions in the ozone layer, et cetera. You know, if our body may be totaled by these things, where would the actual soul part of us go? And I just can't help thinking, raising our consciousness, it just has to be an ongoing part of our lives. You know, if we live in a small limited world, a small limited mindset, and something unexpected happens, well, that can so very easily shatter the world that we live in. So at any given time, my advice is take a look at the oneness of it all and really believe in yourself as part of creation. And then as things do change, and they're going to change in many different ways, you know, I mean, what is our life cycle here? What, 60 years, 80 years? It's a mere blip in universal time. But if you actually believe and understand that you're so much more than John Doe, soul fragment, having this one incarnation, you will be thinking and opening yourself up to a much higher level of consciousness, which will feed you and support you and give you the wisdom for your personal awakening, which you will then contribute to the collective consciousness of our particular realm. And then good things start to happen. Because, you know, nothing is a waste of time if you experience wisely. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a few thoughts from me on that, Cynthia.
Right. Thank you, Ani. I think that, you know, in agreement with that, how do you cope? One of the things as in your humanity, do you cope? A lot of people, when they become fearful or when there is a shock or a change, there's an immediate, unconscious or conscious need to cope. Do you nurture yourself? Are you loving? Are you mindful that your actions represent to yourself and those around you, if you have children that you're teaching, that you're a mirror for, or that you're in a relationship, we're all mirrors for each other? What is your immediate action once you can think of yourself? What if something happens, there's an immediate action. I was in that Northridge quake too and fell down a flight of cement stairs, and my head is what broke the fall on the cement ground. So, I mean, of course, I couldn't right there and then think, how do I nurture myself? I was thinking many other things. But once you get yourself up off the ground and my feet were up behind me and my head was down near the floor, once you get yourself upright from whatever shock or trauma has occurred, how do you nurture yourself? Are you loving or are you fearful? The acts of being fearful are acts that are self-destructive. Acts that for your body or your mind or your spirit are not a calming effect, but actually a destructive effect. So there's a fear, and sometimes people barrel into a self-destructive effect because it's what they, like you were saying, were taught, what they watched when they were growing up, and so now they're moving towards replacing fear with an immediate, temporary, not only coping mechanism, but comfort level, but it's not necessarily nurturing. It's what the child saw as nurturing for those around them, but wasn't necessarily nurturing. Or are you loving? And are you loving and nurturing in a way that, do you have an environment that you can go to internally or externally that represents peace to you? Can you use your breathing, your breath of life, literally as a tool to bring you back to center? Can you move out of shock and panic and fear, which there's nothing wrong in having those, and especially if you use those as tools to illuminate greater where it is that you have work to do within you and around you? But then can you also create balance by sitting down in a place of peace with your breathing as a tool to breathe in the highest light of peace all the way through you down to your toes, and to use your out-breath literally as anything that's in the way of that peace being restored and cultivated within you, that it'll be going out on your out-breath, and then your in-breath bringing in that peace, that light, that connection to the fact that you are co-creating. You are connected to a source that is much bigger than, and you can define the source regardless of how you, what name you put on it. But does the source that you are connected to, does it feel like a source greater than and bigger than that can envelop and embrace you, anything that can happen to you on an earth plane level? And if it doesn't, then think about and contemplate, if it resonates, connecting, using your breath to bring in the belief or the permission that I'm connected to something much greater than this moment of panic and fear, and I'm reaching out to that place, and I'm asking that place to fill me right now internally, and then to spill forth around me and to fill my environment up. And to really work it, to do those breathing exercises, to define what your statement of truth is on that breath of life, and to use those tools. Now, of course, the chaos, if there's a major chaos, which sometimes change requires chaos, as we're seeing in the world, for the voices to be heard, for the truth to come out, and for everything to be revealed that is taking place in the realignment of what is. And sometimes that change is a forced change, and it is a change that is empowered by an internal emotion and also by a calling that's much greater than just what would happen to the physicality and participating in that change. So one of the things to think about is you're co-creating, you're connected to a source much greater than this moment, and that source might be fueling your passion, your inspiration, and your desire to make a big change. Sometimes a sudden shock to the system or to your life, many people sit down, reevaluate, and decide to go a different direction. They decide that that's it, that was the biggest sign of my life, and now I'm ready to embrace regardless of what happens. Because what holds most of humanity back in regards personally, individually, or globally is fear. And sometimes that sudden shock can amplify the fear, but it also amplifies the internal energy and connection and desire to replace that fear with passion and flow. And so that is amazing. And again, you want to create balance as a key. Adrenaline, yes, it's there. Then also, at the end of the day, nurture and love yourself. Let's teach each other and those around us that an enlightened life is not a life without sudden change. In fact, like Ani was saying, change is the only constant. But an enlightened life, if that is your goal or your desire to feel more connected, is the feeling that no matter what happens, you won't lose yourself, and to be able to feel more connected and be able to birth out of a sudden shock or change something greater, something more than. And so huge opportunities right now on Earth and all over the globe to co-create an environment within you. That's another thing I want to share with people is, if you're very dependent upon the people and the environment outside of you to produce that place of security, peace, and comfort, then at one point or another, if you experience a shock to any of those levels, it's because internally you have to find within you that place that reflects the outer place. If there's an imbalance between your internal environment and your external one, meaning you don't feel safe, connected, or at peace within, you're extremely dependent and fearful of losing that because you're dependent upon your external environment, then most likely internally there's going to be some work there and it's going to be an opportunity. So what I say to everyone, my clients and those who I communicate with personally, is that our lives are talking to us out loud, and how we translate that language can add to us or take away from us. We can feel empowered and feel that anything's possible, or we can feel fearful and contract. So look for the opportunity. If you don't see it, don't lose hope, and know that the opportunity, you can look for it again in the next moment, and you will find it. It is never too late. Ani?
Thanks, Cynthia. Again, excuse me. Absolutely. Look, people, balance and harmony. Now, when we come down to have these little incarnations, these wonderful little incarnations on what really is a very beautiful, very pretty planet compared to some of the other third-dimensional realms of existence out there, one of the things that we want to do is to resolve everything. So we have our lessons, we have our karmic lessons, which become our karmic obligations, and the whole purpose of resolving those emotions in love is to achieve that sense and balance and harmony and to realign ourselves. And again, we say, you know, vantage point is everything. And should something be perceived as a crisis, then again, like Cynthia said, the best thing to do is to be calm within that. They always train you in crisis management anyway. In a crisis, do nothing. Stop, observe, and be the vibration that you want to see around you. So being in the present right now, evaluating our emotions, taking a look at our lives from time to time, you know, not every single day, but once in a while, stop, take a look at your life. What's still upsetting you? Where are you out of balance? Take a look at your relationships. Take a look at your relationship with yourself, with your creator, with your work. Make a list, if necessary, of where you're happy, where you're not, and what change you would like to see, so that you can gently and respectfully and lovingly with yourself, you know, resolve these things with spirit and get yourself to a point where you feel very, very happy, or that there's a strong undercurrent of joy, let's say, that drives your incarnation. And that helps for your happiness not to be conditional. We're all going to have days that are good and days that are bad. But, you know, we experience those emotions. There's value in them. But we resolve them, and we find ourselves back into balance and harmony. And if we don't do this, the universe will tap us on the shoulder or kick us in the rear end, depending on how little we're listening. How many times have you heard of someone who you have a friend, perhaps, who you're always saying, you know, don't drink so much beer, slow down, don't work so hard, blah, 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 and all of a sudden, you know, they don't take our advice, obviously, and all of a sudden the universe taps them on the back with some bleeding stomach ulcer or whatever, and then they're forced to slow down. So, you know, consciously, unconsciously, whatever, the universe really is on your side and is just wanting so hard to conspire in your favor. And these are the little things that you want to pay attention to. What's incongruent in your life? What just isn't making sense? And resolve them on a daily basis, or resolve them every Sunday. But keep your life in balance and harmony. Don't have a whole bunch of unresolved emotions over 40, 50 years and let that manifest in some horrendous virus or something for you that's going to put you in hospital. You know, again, we say it's a vibrational universe. Vantage point is everything. And, you know, you're not just who you think you are right now. You're so much more than that. And centering yourself and aligning yourself, really, it's all about reclaiming your, what I call your eternal identity, the all that you are. So, you know, constant reflection, I think, a great tool at your disposal, becoming aware of yourself and your divine self, the totality of you, and continuing to always look at your partnerships and making an effort to, I'm always telling people don't make an effort, allowing yourself to grow spiritually in relationships. And, establish a good inner harmony, mind, body, and spirit. Make this an ongoing thing. And this will lead to your alignment. You'll be more aligned with your source, and your work will be meaningful to you because it will grow from a divinely inspired life purpose. And then take, regular time for yourselves as well. Enjoy vacations, enjoy the cycle, enjoy your personal renewal. When we get into balance and harmony in our lives, we make better choices. We choose better foods, better thought processes, better emotional responses. It's all leading towards a place of spiritual fulfillment so that we don't feel fear and we don't feel panic when something comes along the road. I mean, we've had tsunamis, we've had earthquakes, we've had all sorts of things, and we're not going to sit here and tell you the doom and gloom and all sorts of things are going on in the planet. But obviously changes are happening on our planet, and we would like everyone to be prepared on a spiritual level, be that calm one that everybody comes to, be the one that goes, it's okay, it's fine, I've got the first aid kit, relax. One smile, one helping hand, one calm vibration, it goes a long, long way. Okay?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So just a few thoughts there. For somebody like you who survived that earthquake, Cynthia, that wasn't much fun, was it? I mean, that was scary.
No, I absolutely felt fear and also felt, it's amazing to me because our capacity as human beings is as large and all-encompassing as the universe is. And that means the ability to feel fear, but the ability also to feel all the emotions that exist at one time. I think that's part of my awe and my appreciation and deep relationship with this dimension is that right now while we're talking, somebody's driving for the first time. I mean, somebody's being kissed for the first time. Somebody's experiencing somebody's being asked to be married and that excitement. I mean, all is happening at one time. It's all inclusive. There is the tragedy and the triumph all at once, and it's happening, the tragedy is happening to one faction of humanity, and then on another level, it is the triumph on the other side, and there is this divine in consciousness, or I would say this divine choreography that goes beyond what the mental body of a human being can contemplate, which is a constant balance of relationship and reaction, not just humanity, but environmental and the animal kingdom. So the ability to feel and to remember that in the moment of your darkest hour, whoever you are, if you're in it, that there's tremendous light there as well, and to reach out and to allow it in and to embrace it, or just allow it in, just even the statement to allow it in, that you start feeling some of that darkness being transmuted into light. It's that at every moment, even though you are co-creator and you are mastering your plan, whether you consciously are aware of that or unconsciously doing that, that there is help and there is guidance and that there is, you are being provided for at every moment. Part of this physical dimension's relationship with humanity is that, I actually share this with clients, some clients that, come to see me, that when their life, every single area or even one that's major is in lack, that message to them is you have not yet in this place claimed your abundance. So this dimension is not just about throwing things at you, but sometimes revealing to you where you have not yet said, wait a second, I am connected, I am provided for in this place, and I've forgotten that or I've not claimed that in this place in my life where there is lack. And the simplicity of just the intention or the words, in this place where there's tremendous lack, I see this dimension sending me this message, and I full-heartedly agree to claim my abundance in this area, regardless if it's monetary or otherwise. But this dimension is often a reflection of the opposite, only as an opportunity for you to gain greater insight into yourself. So how we translate this world and what's happening with us and through us is really a divine intervention through your ability and your will to open up to that. So it's really a magnificent opportunity that not a minute goes by, regardless if I'm on my head on the cement and my feet are up behind me, or
I'm not laughing at you.
No, or I am relishing in the nest in next to my home that's been built by birds, and the four babies are born, and I get to see the mother come and feed them, and that new life that brings me to tears. So it's just a huge, incredible, beautiful world. And with that said, this huge, incredible, beautiful world has given us the opportunity to have a slice or piece of getting to know Ani, of hearing her thoughts and her wisdom, of laughing with her and spending very sacred space with her that I will always be grateful for and look upon with a smile. But for those who are participating, today is Ani's last show, I'm sorry to say, and I'm going to allow Ani to talk about where she's going and what she's doing and how you can reach her.
Thank you, Cynthia. Gosh, I think our first show together for Awakening Matters was the 1st of November. Mm-hmm. And it has been, I was just so thrilled that you asked me to co-host for you. And it has taught me so much. I have so enjoyed, I'm not going to get soppy and sentimental on you, but I have so enjoyed every single show that we have done together. It has been a pleasure and a privilege working with you. I hope you ask me back as a guest once in a while.
Absolutely.
And I do hope we have the opportunity to work together again on a similar project. So, with that said, I'm so sorry, everybody, that this is my last show with Cynthia for Awakening Matters. But I suppose it's a good thing. Things have just got so busy for me that I travel so much with my land and space clearing that I can't commit to being with Cynthia every other Monday. So reluctantly, I'm going to have to let go and make way for whatever else Cynthia has in mind. But I am continuing my practice as a medical intuitive spiritual counselor, energy worker in Portland, Oregon for the foreseeable future. And you can still reach, my website is still up at aniavedisian.com. I still work in the Portland, Greater Portland, Tigard area. In addition to the office work, I also teach a lot of workshops now, which are all going to be posted on my website. I'm teaching something new called Metaphysics 101, because there are a lot of people out there who really want to learn metaphysical principles, universal principles, but either they're one, beginners, or two, they're coming from a different, or perhaps a faith base, a denominational faith base, and the language that we use in the so-called New Age circles is confusing. So I'm putting together a series of Metaphysics 101 for people who want to understand what the hey everyone is talking about and have a different, and perhaps be presented with a different sense of awareness about the whole principle of creation. In addition to that, given our subject of sudden changes, etc., I must say I've always wanted to teach what I do, which is the hands-on healing of people and land. And in my simplicity, naivety, and arrogance, I always thought that I couldn't teach it to anybody who didn't have clairvoyance. And Spirit reminded me not so long ago that although clairvoyance is a useful tool at one's disposal, I wasn't actually seeing the work that I was doing. I was actually seeing the work that Spirit was doing through me. And with the greatest of respect, I was holding space for universal love and wisdom and healing to flow through me. And Spirit said, Ani, I want you to teach what you do, but we will simplify it for you and give you a method, because what we want is for you to teach this to people perhaps who have no intuition whatsoever, and they can pray their way through the system. And you can also teach it to experienced people who will have a whole different experience from it. So before I waffle on forever, my method is called the Golden Light of Grace, and it's twofold. The first one is about light body healing, and the second part of it, of course, is land and space clearing, because it's wonderful to have your light body healed and cleared and have your aura as a mobile sacred space, but then if you're going to go into a contaminated land mass, you have to do both. So I intend to teach this all over the world. It's been very well received the few times that I've taught it here in Portland. My favorite part about it is the spirit was right. Of course, the spirit always is. Most of the initial students that I had a great deal of interest in metaphysics and spirituality, but absolutely no experience, and didn't even understand some of the concepts that I was teaching. But in our hands-on coaching sessions, profound things happened, profound shift happened, and in a very short space of time, the vast majority of my students started actually feeling and even seeing energetic patterns, and the attunement process for them was quite magnificent. So the Golden Light of Grace is all about putting your eternal identity first and foremost, so you're not just experiencing as this little soul fragment here. And it's about putting the power back into your hands. There is nothing special about being clairvoyant. There's nothing special about clairsentience, clairaudience, being a psychic. All of this, there's really nothing special about it. There's nothing paranormal. It's just to do with connection to the divine and that placement of intent. If you genuinely are speaking as a co-creator with your divinity and reaching out to the divine one and holding space for the Christ of consciousness to heal your brother or sister in the way that they need to be healed, that is enough. So this particular method has quite a bit of preparation where a lot of guidelines are given. Understanding universal principles is one of them. How to release all that no longer serves you. How to allow creator to flow through you at all times. It addresses what you need to do for a personal awakening. It teaches absolute equality in creation, which I consider absolutely essential as a concept to understand. Because, you know, you can't love yourself and hate somebody else, and you can't hate yourself and know what it is to love another. That's where all the absolute balance and harmony comes into it. It teaches that all creation is unconditional love. In no uncertain terms, you will understand that. It gives you a few pointers about what the false ego self is, and how to resolve your emotions and what they're there for, and how to take responsibility. And then we teach you a method of hands-on healing, which is done through the aura, through the chakras. It's a method that you can follow. It's quite rudimentary, but the prayers are written in such a way that they access some beautiful frequency, and the release is wonderful, and the results are long-lasting and, you know, permanent is what we aim for. But, you know, you can't really heal someone unless they're in that space. But this is all about putting in as much light into the person, into the planet, as possible, because that's what we need to get out of the darkness, is a lot of light. And as the light actually enters the energetic anatomy and enters the cellular structure, too, you will see the physical symptomology resolve. It's just a beautiful method. I'm so honored to have been given it, and I want to share it with the entire world. So details on that on my website, annieavedisian.com. And land and space clearing is a very simple method, even more rudimentary. It's about how to take an environment, any type of toxic environment, whether it's a domestic house, a business, a barn, just land or piece of the ocean, a boat, whatever. It's all energy, right? So, and how to clear that toxic environment by literally collapsing time and space and having every single piece of energetic debris cleansed, purified, and vitalized on that land, you know, regardless of what physical manifestation left it there or whatever the reason was. And then to bring everything back to the present time, pure, clean, vital, and sparkly, filled with God's grace, and ready to accommodate a higher level of consciousness. As we do this, we're also blessing our Mother Earth, who has hosted us for so very, very long. And a lot of the climatic changes, it's not just to do with pollution, etc. A lot of it is our toxic thought forms. So this is very big picture stuff, empowering you to be the living Christ on earth and to be happy and comfortable saying that in your divinity, and to heal your brothers and sisters just by turning on the light for them, and to do the same for the land. In simple and pure, it's placement of intent, sincerity and placement of intent. big picture stuff, bless the planet, get off the planet, and reclaim your eternal identity. So this is what I'm giving a lot of my attention to right now. So anybody who's interested in learning the Golden Light of Grace, hey, check out the website and drop me an email. We've had a lot of Reiki masters really enjoy this method and use it in conjunction with their modality too. So
That's wonderful.
Thank you, Cynthia, for the opportunity of explaining that. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. No, that's wonderful. I think that it's very timely, and I agree with you that it's very needed. And many, many healers and teachers, et cetera, are stepping up to really do whatever they're being called to do. And I think that both Ani and I, where we are similar, is that there's no desire to reign supreme on any level. There's more of a invitation and a handout for everyone to stand alongside one another and remember that you are what you've been looking for, and that within you is access to all the tools and all the gifts and all the healings and all the energy that you've ever desired and more. I wanted to talk about, too, before we end the show, that I'm doing what's called an access point workshop that was extremely powerful. Many people attended, and it's also in the Portland area. You can Brazil Brit, where we used to have people write in, that will no longer be accessible. So send all your emails and your feedback, which I love to get, to Cynthia Sloan, S-L-O-N, at Comcast.net. Cynthia Sloan, S-L-O-N, at Comcast.net. And I will love to receive them and then to write you back. But do check out my website, Cynthia Sloan, again, S-L-O-N, the number 9.com, and you'll see the write-up for the first session of Access Point, and there's a second and a third. It's a three-part series. And if you want to join in on the second part, do contact me, and just know that the second part is access to your Hall of Records, rewriting your soul mastery, literally physically having the experience of walking through your own Hall of Records, pulling out files, getting reacquainted with who you've been, who you are, and who you want to be, and then rewriting anything you desire and having that rewritten soul script and language affect your life here and now, literally, once you return with that file in your hand. So it's very much a journey, but it's also one that was touched on in the first set of series, and I'm still getting feedback, and people are talking about how there's no struggle in what was a struggle before. So it's a very empowering opportunity for you to join that. As well as our next show, or Awakening Matters next show, July 13th, I really invite everyone to tune in and listen, because it's about a breakthrough. It's an energetic healing breakthrough to healing cancer. If you know anyone who has cancer, anyone who's toxic, or anyone who is unwell or fearful they might have cancer, tune into this show on July 13th at 8 p.m. because it's a breakthrough regarding what cancer is, and also how to literally, within a week's time, it's happened, remove it from the body and clear it, and literally from the physical body. We are talking about that. When I say we, the guest I'm going to have on is a healing practitioner as well, and she has been applying this technique, and at the same time that I was receiving information about this technique, and we compared notes, and it's very, very exciting. So that's July 13th. The other thing is Awakening Matters is going to be going to the streets and really asking people their opinion on subjects and matters regarding everything from spirituality to the mundaneness of spirituality to the most exciting of topics. And out of the month, one of the shows, because we air every other Monday, will be the result of that questioning. It'll be fascinating to get so many different points of view and participate in listening to that. So do tune in to that as well. So Awakening Matters is here to serve you, to awaken, to still offer spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter about engaging our topics of humanity, do tune in and know that it's an ongoing, constant dialogue, that even when we hang up, the lines of communication on a consciousness level are open and we are all talking on that level, whether it is a conscious understanding of that or not. And that one person's breakthrough or one person's guidance of brilliance that Ani's going to offer and then that I'm being called to offer, there's no greater or less than, and that we are all joining together to offer as many different levels, languages, and terminology that all of the outcome leads to the same, and that is love and the representation of perfection in mind, body, and spirit that comes from love and the equation of love. So, Ani, since this is your last show and we have a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
is there anything that you would like to share or say or leave as a final thought?
Golly, I guess I could always come up with something, but well, you know, human experience, wonderful as it is only a challenge if you think of it from a purely physical human perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And you may all be bored with me saying this over and over again, but we are spiritual beings temporarily experiencing as human beings, so thinking from a human perspective doesn't really work. But if you're thinking from a divine perspective, that smashes your human limitations, and then our world will be a paradise. I don't know when, but many, many years ago, we evidently decided to experience polarity and separation from God. But instead of resolving it somewhere down the line, we got stuck in it, and now I do believe we're in some sort of reincarnational loop-de-loop on this realm. And we're continuing still to create levels of separation from Creator and from each other and from the entire cosmos. Good news, everyone. Our divine essence never dies, and the memory of our perfection is always with us. It just takes a little internal dialogue, a little self-evaluation, re-evaluation from time to time, and reaching out to your divinity, and the entire universe will be there just wanting to conspire in your favor and to help you. It's all about alignment with your divinity. So please do think from a divine perspective, and let's do something with this planet we can be proud of.
Mm.
Those are my parting words, Cynthia. I think we owe Earth a favor, don't you? She's been a host for so long.
Absolutely. I think that she has been a very eloquent and class-filled, generosity beyond comprehension host, and yes, I think that there's more awakening and that it does matter going on in the world right now than we've seen in a very long time. And please know, if you're listening and you feel like you have an idea, you have an inspired thought, and you don't feel heard, write to me at CynthiaSloan@comcast.net. And you can be a guest on the show. You can have your truth heard. Write to me, tell me a little bit about yourself and your thoughts and your ideas, and know that you have a voice and that you have a choice to use it. Also, know that you matter, and when you are being called to do something that seems out of your boundary of comfort or out of your boundary of even fully the knowledge of why, a lot of times spirit calls to us and we don't have all the details, and in our fear about that, a lot of humans stop and discard the process because they're fearful that all the details aren't there. They question themselves as to whether or not this is really true or real. And my invitation to everyone is, if you're feeling inspired, if you have a thought that is about not only awakening yourself but others, we are in a time on this earth where there is no one master to follow and one being that says, follow this way and do what I say and you will be okay. I didn't really mean to rhyme, but it ended up rhyming. So know that right now it's about all of us, all of humanity, showing up for our calling and our internal place, regardless of where you are with that place, and together moving forward to embrace, heal, and reconnect the places where we have, as Ani put it, separated ourselves from the divine. There is only love, there is only God, or the experience of expressing outside of love, and the desire or the desperation, depending on where you are, to return to love. So just know that Awakening Matters is here, Cynthia is here, and Ani is here, and we are here to serve, and we are so grateful for your participation and for your listening, and do tune in July 13th to really participate in this healing cancer, because it's a concept that it has been proven to heal cancer, that now it possibly can heal what you have going on if you're listening and you want, you've tried everything. So do tune in, because it'll be fascinating. So we are going to bring it to a close, and let's just do it for old time's sake like we used to.
So I guess for the last time, it's Ani Avedisian reminding you all to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
Yes, and this is Cynthia Sloan. As always, if it resonates, make it your own.